Today we're diving into a position paper that challenges fundamental assumptions about neurological variation. It's titled, The Misidentified Variable, Neurodivergence as Evolutionary Feature, Not Developmental Deficiency, published by the Cedar Institute in April 2026. The author is the founder of the Cedar Institute, a parent whose children are diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder.
That's right, Malik. This paper comes from a deeply personal place, born from the author's daily experience navigating a system that demands his children be labeled broken to receive support. The core argument isn't theoretical. It's a conviction that a better system is not just possible, but necessary.
So right from the start, this isn't just an academic exercise. The executive summary states that an estimated 15 to 30% of the global population shows neurological variation outside the conventional baseline. And for centuries, this variation was seen as a deficiency. Why do you think that classification was so pervasive?
The paper argues it was fundamentally tied to the industrial model. That era demanded uniformity, standardized education, standardized labor, standardized medicine. Any deviation from the norm was pathologized, medicated, or marginalized. The environment against which neurodivergence was measured was artificially narrow.
And the paper then makes a very bold claim. What the industrial economy saw as a liability, the technological economy now reveals as an asset. Are we really saying that traits like pattern recognition, hyperfocus, and non-linear problem solving, often associated with neurodivergence, are suddenly what our economy needs most?
Precisely. The paper points out that these cognitive signatures are now precisely what's needed in an economy shaped by AI, data architecture, and complex systems design. The Cedar Institute's position is direct. Neurodivergence isn't a disorder being destigmatized. It's an evolutionary feature misidentified as a defect because the old environment couldn't recognize its value. The environment has changed, and our frameworks must change too. It uses the hashtag not a bug.
But isn't it true that many people with neurodivergent traits genuinely struggle and require support? Is calling it not a bug potentially downplaying real challenges?
The paper acknowledges those struggles. It's not dismissing the difficulties. Instead, it asserts that the current system requires a human being to be classified as disordered before they can access support. That's the system it believes is not worth defending, but replacing. The goal is a new framework.
Let's dig into the biological baseline. The paper starts by saying, variation is the rule, not the exception in human biology. How does this apply to the brain?
It's fundamental. Evolution relies on diversity of capability for species survival. If every member of a population processed information identically, they'd be catastrophically vulnerable to environmental change. The human brain, being incredibly complex, reflects this. Neurological variation isn't an aberration. It's the expected outcome of hundreds of thousands of years of human evolution. The wide range of cognitive processing styles we see, from linear to pattern-driven, represents the full spectrum that has persisted across millennia.
So conditions like ASD and ADHD, then, aren't evolutionary mistakes?
Not according to the paper. It cites models of polygenic balancing selection, suggesting that individual alleles contributing to conditions like ASD and ADHD can confer subtle cognitive advantages at subclinical levels. Things like enhanced pattern recognition, heightened perceptual functioning, or increased divergent thinking. Evolution didn't preserve autism itself, but it preserved the underlying genetic components because those individual parts enhance our species' cognitive toolkit.
That's a powerful reframing, but the paper also touches on a really dark period in history, eugenics. How does that connect to this discussion of variation?
It's a critical and tragic link. Early geneticists correctly identified biological variation, but the application was catastrophic. What should have been a framework for understanding diversity became a weapon for dominance. Eugenics movements weaponized biological variation to construct racial hierarchies and justify horrific actions. The Cedar Institute is unequivocal. The repudiation of eugenics was morally necessary. The error wasn't in rejecting eugenics, but in what replaced it.
And what replaced it was the deficit model.
Exactly. The moral horror of eugenics left a conceptual vacuum which was filled by the deficit model. This model has roots in Krepelinian psychiatry, the rise of IQ testing, and the broader medicalization of deviance. If your brain worked differently, the prevailing thought was, something is wrong with you. The prescribed response became normalization through medication, behavioral conditioning, or educational frameworks designed to make you conform to the cognitive mean.
So we moved from trying to engineer out variation to trying to normalize away variation, both based on a fundamental misunderstanding or misapplication of human biological diversity.
That's the paper's argument. It resulted in a century where cognitive variation was ignored, euphemized, or framed exclusively through pathology. Every neurodivergent individual had to be diagnosed as broken before they could receive help.
And the Industrial Revolution, as you've mentioned earlier, played a huge role in embedding this mindset.
Absolutely. The Industrial Revolution centered on standardization. Factories needed interchangeable labor. Schools were designed to produce compliant workers who could tolerate repetition and follow instructions. This model wasn't built for neurodivergent individuals. It was designed, in many ways, to suppress their traits. The student who couldn't sit still was disciplined. The worker who couldn't tolerate monotony was fired.
And this extended to psychiatry and medicine, where interventions were calibrated to the population mean, aiming for compliance with institutional expectations. The default became medicate the deviation, normalize the individual.
That's right. While these interventions can offer genuine relief, the institutional default embedded a structural assumption that the appropriate response to cognitive variation is to suppress it for institutional convenience. Standardized curricula, testing, and age grade progressions optimized for the neurotypical cognitive profile meant that for the 20 to 30% whose brains didn't align, the system was a daily message that their way of thinking was wrong.
This leads us to what the paper calls the technological inflection. We're in a new economy shaped by AI, machine learning, and complex systems. How does this fundamentally change the value proposition of neurodivergent traits?
The paper argues this new economy rewards fundamentally different cognitive capabilities. It offers a table comparing industrial versus technological value for certain traits. For example, pattern recognition, which had low industrial value because machines set patterns, now has critical technological value for identifying signal and noise. Hyperfocus, once disruptive, is now essential for deep work on complex problems. Nonlinear thinking, once inefficient, is now innovative for novel solutions. Systems thinking and tolerance for ambiguity are now foundational and required, not unnecessary or undesirable.
So this suggests a significant shift then. The traits, historically seen as challenges, are now direct assets in many cases.
Exactly. The paper argues the traits most commonly associated with neurodivergent profiles, especially autism, ADHD, and dyslexia, map directly onto the capabilities most valued in the technological economy. It's not a coincidence. It's the predictable result of an environmental shift that has altered which cognitive configurations confer advantage. The neurodivergent individual who struggled in a standardized classroom may be the same individual who can hold an entire software architecture and working memory.
Yet the paper also notes that neurodivergent individuals don't currently thrive in this economy. It points to unemployment rates for autistic adults as high as 50 to 85%. If these traits are so valuable, why the disparity?
That's the thesis itself. The gap between neurodivergent capability and outcome is the strongest evidence that our systems, not our people, are broken. An economy that demonstrably needs what neurodivergent minds offer yet systematically fails to employ them is an economy with an institutional design failure, not a population with a cognitive one.
So the solution isn't to fix the individual, but to fix the system. This brings us to the reclassification section, where the Cedar Institute proposes a fundamental shift.
The core proposition is that neurodivergence is not a disorder being destigmatized. It is an evolutionary feature that was misidentified as a defect because the prevailing environment was not built to recognize its value. This isn't just semantic. It has material implications for policy, education, medicine, employment, and research.
And the bottleneck right now is that you need a diagnosis of disability or impairment to access most support, whether it's an IEP, ADA accommodations, or insurance-funded therapy. The system requires you to be labeled broken first.
That's the critical bottleneck. The entire access infrastructure requires pathology as a precondition for support. The paper argues this framework was designed to manage, not serve, neurodivergent individuals. And the cost is borne daily by families who must pathologize their children to help them.
But many individuals rely on these existing mechanisms. Are we saying they should just disappear?
No. The Institute recognizes that. It doesn't advocate for dismantling them without building replacements. But it's unequivocal. A system requiring a disorder classification for support is built on the wrong premise. The long-term objective is to design asset-based alternatives that provide support without pathology as a precondition.
So what does this reclassification demand, then, in practical terms?
It demands several shifts. Education must move from accommodation to optimization, building systems that leverage cognitive strengths. Medicine must move from suppression to support, developing protocols for neurodivergent individuals to function at their highest level. Employment needs to shift from mere tolerance to active recruitment, recognizing specific cognitive profiles as valuable. Research must transition from deficit-based to asset-based inquiry, asking what neurodivergent brains can do that neurotypical brains cannot. And access must move from pathology-gated to profile-based, where resources are based on cognitive profile and functional needs without requiring a label of deficiency.
This sounds like a complete paradigm shift, and the paper concludes with a moral imperative. Who decides what normal means?
Yes, it questions the historical power dynamics behind the definition of normal. Deviation has been labeled as sin, madness, deficiency, or disorder. And these labels were always presented as objective, but were in fact products of prevailing power structures. The Cedar Institute isn't arguing that mental illness doesn't exist, but that the line between disorder and difference has been drawn in the wrong place by the wrong people using the wrong criteria. This has disproportionately harmed children, families, and under-resourced communities.
So the fundamental question isn't whether neurodivergent individuals can adapt or if existing support should be preserved, but whether we have the courage to build something better.
Precisely. A system that supports human beings without first classifying them as damaged. The Cedar Institute's position is clear. Human neurological variation is a biological reality and an expected output of evolution. Classifying neurodivergence as inherently disordered is an industrial-era framework, now inconsistent with contemporary neuroscience and the technological economy's demands. The valuable traits of neurodivergent profiles are now highly sought after, and the current pathology-gated access system is inadequate. We need asset-based frameworks that see neurodivergent individuals as minds to be deployed, not patients to be treated.
This paper certainly provides a compelling call to action, inviting researchers, policymakers, educators, and families to join a much-needed conversation. It asks whether our institutions will evolve fast enough to recognize the value of neurodivergent minds, or if we'll continue to lose generations to an obsolete standard.
The industrial age asked how to make everyone the same. The technological age asks how to make everyone effective. These are different questions, demanding different answers. And the answer to how we support neurodivergent individuals without first classifying them as broken doesn't exist yet. But the Cedar Institute exists to build it.
If you found this conversation insightful, please share it with someone who might benefit from hearing this perspective.